Welcome back to the Deep Dive, everyone. So today, your mission is preparing for the day three work of week seven. And we are really getting into law seven, which is all about learning to lead yourself so others will follow you.
Yeah, it's a massive paradigm shift, really, because, I mean, we're so used to treating leadership as this entirely external projection, right?
Right, but today is entirely about managing your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because approaching this as a psychology professor, I mean, I am just obsessed with behavior. Okay, so let's unpack this. The quote from the workbook that grabbed me immediately was David Morrison's, "The standard you walk past is the standard you accept."
Oh, yeah, that is a fantastic quote.
It really is. Because from a behavioral psychology standpoint, you know, when you normalize bad habits, you're actually creating a really poor psychological baseline. Mm. So adding this quote to your daily practice, it basically acts as a conscious disruptor to that passive acceptance. But I have to ask you, you know, from your perspective as a neuroscientist, what actually happens in our brains when we, say, just ignore a messy desk or brush off a bad habit?
Well, what's fascinating here is that it's actually a really big deal neurologically.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think of your brain as this highly efficient, maybe slightly lazy prediction machine.
Lazy, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you walk past that mess, you aren't just, you know, being untidy. You are actively triggering what we call baseline normalization.
So, okay, wait, baseline normalization. Unpack that for me. What does that actually look like in the brain?
Yeah, so it means your brain is adjusting its internal thermostat. You literally recalibrate the neural threshold for what triggers an alarm.
Oh, wow.
Right, so if you consistently ignore a poor standard, your brain just stops releasing the stress neurotransmitters that would normally prompt you to fix it. The subpar standard physically becomes your new baseline.
That's terrifying, actually. Just completely rewiring your brain to stop caring. But I guess it perfectly explains why daily reflection is so critical.
Precisely. It disrupts that. And building on that behavioral foundation, that's exactly why I gravitated to the William Penn quote in the workbook. No man is fit to command another that cannot command himself.
Yeah, that one hits hard.
It does. Because when you intentionally practice commanding yourself, daily reflection actually forces blood flow to the prefrontal cortex, which is the logical regulating part of your brain.
So you're physically strengthening those circuits?
You are. You're literally rewiring the neural pathways required for self-regulation just to override those lazy base impulses.
But let me push back here for just a second. Like, is internal self-control really enough? Because we're talking about leadership, which inherently involves other people.
That's a fair point.
Right. So how does my strong prefrontal cortex actually make my team better? And that's exactly why I brought Albert Schweitzer's quote from my self-sourced option today. He said, "Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It is the only thing."
Oh, yeah.
Because human influence is basically like social contagion. You don't lead by giving instructions, you know, you lead by broadcasting your own internal operating system to the world.
You do.
Yeah.
Humans actually have mirror neurons specifically to mimic the behaviors and emotional states of those around us. But here's the catch. You cannot sustainably model high standards if your internal operating system is a complete mess.
Right. So you can't fake it.
No, you can't. Which leads directly into the quote I source from a cognitive control perspective. I chose Plato's. The first and best victory is to conquer self.
Oh, Plato. Classic.
Always a solid choice, right?
Yeah.
But I chose this because influence requires total internal control. Self-conquest is essentially top-down regulation. It's the rational brain conquering the emotional reactive center, the amygdala.
Which is huge for leadership.
Absolutely. If you haven't conquered your own panic or laziness, your mirror neurons will broadcast that exact panic to your team, regardless of what confident words you happen to be saying.
Okay, so if we connect this to the bigger picture, it literally comes down to logic conquering fear. And reflecting on these specific quotes supercharges the mental code rewrites for Law 7.
Right, like the mental code, when there's no one to lead me, remind me I am always required to lead myself.
Exactly. So what does this all mean for you today? Here is your mission. You need to select one of the two chapter quotes, find one quote of your own, and physically write or type both onto your daily practice page.
And do not skip the physical action of putting it on the page.
Wait, really? Does physically writing or typing it actually do something that just reading it doesn't? I hear this all the time.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
The neuroscience of this action is fascinating. When you physically write or type, it forces active neural encoding.
Okay.
Yeah, it embeds the standard deeply into your memory because you're forcing your brain to translate meaning into complex motor commands.
So you're literally physically installing it into your hardware. I love that.
So remember, your new daily stack, which you do three times a day, now evolves. It includes your two quotes, your three distill points, and your three code rewrites.
And you want those mental codes firmly installed today, because tomorrow, day four, introduces the standard method, which is the ultimate framework for turning these new mental codes into tangible, real-world action.
I am so excited for that one. So as you tackle today's reflections, let me leave you with this provocative thought to chew on. Think about your single biggest behavioral flaw right now, the one you secretly hope no one ever notices. If your entire team magically adopted that exact flaw tomorrow morning, would your business survive the week?